Folks, this is an incredible weekend for football. We are looking forward to God's team showing up tomorrow night and just owning this league. This league is going to look like a bunch of high school students trying to play football in the NFL when they play the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know that that's God's team. You know that's Believers Chapel's team. You may come in here and see chairs painted black and gold. That's not my idea. But you can't get past the Ravens. They ain't got a team. But we are pumped about our football season. But listen, I got to tell you a story, a fun story. You can turn to a couple places with me, please. Colossians 2, three places if we get to them. Colossians 2, Romans 11, Hebrews 12. But I got to tell you my coaching debut yesterday. It was fantastic. We've got a Believers Chapel Academy soccer team. This is like 12 and under, so these are just little ones just running around. It's fantastic. You got Seth Snowden, Coach of the Year, phenomenal coach. But he had to take off for most of the second game. You play two games. So he pulls me in to coach. I know nothing about soccer, like nothing. Like kick it hard. That's my advice, kick it hard. Like, don't let them run past you, trip them. What's wrong with you? Throw an elbow. Come on. What are you? I'm sorry, ref. What do you mean you can't tackle them? I thought you could just lay into them, right? And just like, it was crazy. Olivia, she's the assistant, and she's like, Dad, just, I got this. Let me do this. And I'm like, okay. But I didn't. I just totally took over. It was fantastic. Poor Olivia, she was helping. And then Matt Kolb came over, and he was helping with me because our kids are playing. And it was just, it was controlled chaos. It was fantastic. Like, I'm doing subs, and the ref's looking at me like, no, you can't do that. What do you mean? Come on, he's tired. He needs water. And it was so funny. I'm cracking up loud. We did win the game 3-0, by the way. Just letting you know, I'm undefeated as a coach. It's pretty sweet. I do take credit for that. It's awesome. Woo! Come on, we're in this closing of the series, Everyday Matters. It has been a powerhouse series. It's been a phenomenal series. Trusting and believing that it really is changing families, husbands, wives, teenagers, young adults, college students, just changing lives. When you really come to a place and say, today is a day that God has made for me, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in today, and today I'm going to make a difference, and today matters. And when I live that way, it's going to change today. It changes the days that we live. Powerhouse series. We're closing it, as I said, about the importance of what it is day after day, to be aware of our adversary, to be aware of our enemy who is constantly trying to plant seed. He roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he has this, listen, you got to remember, man, the Bible makes it so simple. There's two teams, man, his team, God's team. It makes it real clear, real simple. There's two teams, there's two dominions. There's his and there's God's. And you're either on either or either team, definitely, absolutely cannot be on both. So you're one or the other. So when we know that he is roaming around and he has a spiritual influence in this domain, in this place where he is the prince of power of this air, that you know that he has an influence here, and we have got to begin to understand that and realize that. And when he begins to try to influence you or your home or your marriage or your wife or your husband or your children or you as a young adult, you as a college student trying to make decisions of where, and you begin to see where the enemy is trying to filter into that and plant seeds in you that would get you off track, then you need to become a spiritual seed plucker. And today is seed plucking, that we would begin day after day, be on alert day after day, realize today matters, and the enemy is around the corner by his spiritual influence. Not him personally around the corner, but his influence is around every corner, folks. His influence is every circle of people that you or you may not be a part of. His influence comes through the television, his movie. His influence comes through music. His influence truly is around every corner. And he would love to plant some seeds in you that would get you off target, to get your marriage off course, because somehow, some way, he planted some seeds in there that grew and festered. And now we see marriages falling apart. We see people going different directions. We see young people, teenagers, young adults, just influenced in such horrible, wrong ways because the enemy has planted seeds. Well, what is it for you and I to be a professional spiritual seed plucker? To say, no, that's not coming into my house. No, that's not coming into my spirit. The Bible says to guard your heart with a diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart with a diligence, with an intensity. That's not just all soft-hearted, oh, bunch of wimps, oh, Christians, bunch of sissies. No, God says, guard your heart with an intensity. Be serious about it. Guard is a military term, man. Put up walls. Do everything necessary to guard your heart, because from your heart comes the issues of life, and the enemy is trying to do everything he can to plant seeds in your heart. Well, the Bible says guard against it. Be aware. Be on alert. Be watchful. What happens when you fall asleep spiritually, folks? The enemy shows up. Says, there's an unguarded heart right there. Up, there's another unguarded. This believer fell asleep spiritually. Oh, they forgot to guard their heart. Whoop. Oh, look at these parents. They're so busy. They totally forgot that they actually had kids. Whoop. Right into the kids. Plant seeds in the heart. And man, we're going to get into this morning. And let's just look at this real quick. I think there's three areas. There's so many different areas that we could write down. But number one, man, write these down if you can. These are some serious thoughts of how and where the enemy will come and try to plant seeds. He will try to plant seeds in your influence, on who influences you. Number two, he'll try to plant seeds in your conformity. You conform to that which you're influenced by. No joke, folks. You will conform to that which you're influenced by. And then the third, he will come and he will attack your faith, and he will try to plant seeds of doubt. You've got your influence, conformity, and doubt. These are three areas, and there's so many more, but we're just covering three. Quickly, we're covering three. And that you would come to a point to look at the influence. And listen, if this influence is not a teenager thing, influence isn't like a youth group thing. It certainly is. And they are impacted by influence, probably on a different level than us adults. But listen, I know marriages that fall apart because somebody else got in there and influenced that marriage. Or they took advice from somebody else that says, hey, don't go that direction. And you go this direction. So influence causes. You can be influenced in your job by the influence of the atmosphere as an adult working in a place. You can certainly be influenced in the wrong direction as an adult. So this isn't just a teenage thing, but you need to be aware that, listen, the enemy is trying to plant seeds of influence in you that are going to get you off target on your spiritual journey, on your spiritual walk. And he will use anyone, and he will use anything, and he will use television, movies, he will use music, he'll use whatever it takes to influence you to get you off target. And when you begin to, you have to be aware of this and come to a place and say, no, turn that off, nope, flip that, nope, wrong movie, nope. I mean, listen, I enjoy entertainment. I love certain shows on television. There's times I have to turn it off. I love movies. There's times that I have to walk out of a movie theater, even at PG-13, going, wow, this is not what I thought about it. I try not to go into a movie theater for rated R movies. There's just pretty much nothing really good that's going to happen there. PG-13, I'm okay with that. Personally, it's your own decision, but I've had to walk out, man up, and say, no, we're not. Kids, sorry, let's go. Really, Dad? Really, let's go. Yep. Because I'm not going to let that sit in my kid's heart or in my heart. I love when we use the kids in my heart. I don't need that trash in my heart. I don't need that trash in my marriage. And man, you need to be aware and be on target every single day. You are eyes open to see where's the enemy coming with his influence. That I'm going to be a seed plucker. Look at this. Turn to Colossians 2. I want you to see this. Verse 4 says this. So I say this, that no one would delude you with persuasive argument. For even if I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline, the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, walk in him. Look at verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, firmly rooted, built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one, here it is, influence. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Listen, Paul is writing this to the church at Colossae, and he's writing this in a sense of be aware of influence. Be aware of who you listen to. Be aware of what you're being taught. Be aware. I love this. Look at this again. You got to see this. Verse 8, see to it that no one, see to it, pay attention to it, that no one takes you captive through philosophy, through empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world. And we have to look at this and say, how many times, even in a fight for holiness and a fight for that, the Word of God is the absolute truth that we are going to, what's it say? Look at this, verse 7. Having been firmly rooted, being built up, and established in your faith. I love this. Being firmly rooted, being built up, and being established means I am fixed in my position that this is truth. I'm fixed in my position that Jesus is Lord. I'm fixed in my position that there's only way because Jesus said one way through me to God the Father. I'm convinced that this is His word. I'm convinced that this is God on page for me. I'm firmly rooted. Man, I am established in my faith. I'm not going to be swayed by public opinion. I'm not going to be swayed by political opinion. I'm not going to be swayed by popular opinion. I'm not going to be swayed by family opinion. I'm not going to be swayed by professor opinion. I'm not going to be swayed. I know that this is real and this is true and I hold my ground. Because the enemy would love to come in and just begin to plant seeds of philosophy. Plant seeds of empty and this empty deception. He would begin to love to plant seeds of tradition of men. And he'd love, get this now. He'd love to plant seeds of the elementary principles of the world. He'd love to plant seeds that, man, if everybody thinks it's okay, it must be okay. Man, if you're in the minority, you must be so, do you realize you're the only one who believes that? Do you realize out of this classroom, you're the only one who would believe that? Have you not been around in the change? Have you not been around that everything has been accepted? Have you not been around that there has been change in law? Have you not been? I mean, we could go over all kinds of different issues. Or you come to a place to say, no, I'm firmly rooted. No, I'm being built up. No, I'm being established in my faith. I am fixed. I am fixed. And I overflow with thankfulness because of who He is and who I know Him to be. Man, please, if you're a young person in this, I think your circle of influence is huge. If you're a teenager, you're in school or you're in college, your circle of influence is enormous for you because you will become who you are with. That's the absolute truth. You will become who you are with. If you are with a worldly influence and that's your circle, that's who you hang with, that's who you will be. If your one singular purpose is not to win them, but just to hang with them. If your singular whole purpose is to win them to Christ, you will be vocal in your faith. I love it. Well, I'm hanging them to win them. When's the last time you ever actually even mentioned Jesus Christ? Well, I'm building up to that. It's been 2 years. And you're really acting just like them. When you get this young person, when you get this teenager, you understand what that circle of influence at your age, when you are trying to figure out who I am, where I'm going, who I'm going to be, what's going to happen in my life. College students, man, who am I going to marry? That is a huge one. Who you date one day, you will marry. That's a fact. Unless you have a parent like me who loves to arrange marriages, but unless you live in my house, you will marry who you date. And if you're dating someone who has the influence of the world and they are not yet saved, you very well possibly could marry that person and then you are downhill dive from there. Listen, this is so real. When you and I want to come across in a sense of being firm because it's such a real battle that we face day after day that the enemy is trying to plant seeds. And if we are sleeping, if we're not paying attention to this, every day matters. And I'm going to be a seed plucker. Nope, that is a bad influence. Nope, that. And as parents over your kids, no, you are not hanging with that. Nope, boom, he is out the door. If he comes to this door, I'm going to shoot him. So no, he's not allowed in my house. Don't really shoot him, maybe with a BB gun, but nothing more than that, okay? I'm just kidding. I gotta preach, people. We're almost done. But honestly, come on, parents. Are you a professional seed plucker for your children? Because when you allow a bad influence or a worldly influence, or when you allow popular view or you allow public view or you allow political view or what other view is opposite of God's view to sink into your house and you actually give an inch to think that it's okay. The enemy just planted a seed and you need to come to a place to say, no, God's word says this. No, God says this about that. Parents know the word of God. God's, you see, this is where God stands in this. This is where our faith says this is truth. That's not truth. That's a lie. This is, the enemy is the best liar of all. He is the top deceiver of all mankind. And you come to a place to fight that with truth. No. This is what God says about that. Whatever issue you're facing, whatever things that the enemy is trying to plant. No. This is what God has to say about that. That's how you pluck seed. And you go into battle on your knees as parents. How many times, parents, have you battled on your face before the Lord for your kids when you know there's some type of influence or you know that the enemy is trying to attack and you've gone to a place and you've given the word and you've prayed over them, but it's day after day after day that you're on your face saying, no weapon formed against my house will prosper. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. God, you are first in my home. This is an awful influence and it's got to go. This is a seed that's been trying to be planted and I'm praying that out. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And I'm covering my family in the blood of Christ, for we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The cross has defeated him and he is rendered powerless and he's not welcome in my home. And my home is a home where there is light. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness.
Amen.
Parents,
Amen.
How much are you saying I'm going to pluck that seed and it is not coming in my house again? Mom and Dad, don't fall asleep. Mom and Dad, don't fall asleep. Oh, man. Let me just read this to you, please. Romans, talking about conformity. Number two is conformity. If you're there, Romans 12 or Romans 11, 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory forever. Amen. You get that? It's all about Jesus. From him, through him, to him, all things to him be the glory. It's about him. Verse 12, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies living in holy sacrifice, acceptable God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Your influence will dictate your conformity. When you see people begin to turn and begin to conform to the world, the first thing I would encourage you to check is who's influencing that person. How did the enemy get to your husband? How did the enemy get to your wife? Who did the enemy use to send into their lives to get them to be influenced that now they are conforming to a different way? Look at what we read here. It says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love the word conformed. It means to be molded to. Don't be molded by the world. Be molded by the things of the Word of God. This should mold us. This is where we are fixed. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, be changed. The word is metamorphosis, to go from that. You know the whole thing about the butterfly, to go from that ugly, nasty cocoon stage, from this nasty caterpillars that you step on. They go in cocoon stage, and then they come out to this amazing, beautiful butterfly. That's what this word means. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. There's this change that takes place. And I love this. I love this. The butterfly can never, ever go back into the cocoon. How many times as believers we step back and try to go back into the world? And he's saying, listen, you need to come to a place to be transformed, to be changed. You need to come to a place to renew your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Again, man, I think the second plot of the enemy, there's many, but this is just the three for this message, is that he wants you to conform to his way. There's only two teams. Can I ask you a serious question? Do you feel yourself, do you feel that tug of that conforming? To his way, conforming to the world. And we just, man, don't we love to just play it off? Well, it's not that big of a deal. It's just, come on, Sean, it's just a small thing today. But you got to remember, this whole series is about seeds being planted, where he tries to sow little seeds and they're going to grow into big fruit. Eventually, one day, you're going to look back and say, how did that seed get there? It was that little thing that you called just so little. And I think the big one that I don't really have time to really develop this morning, but we've had a powerful service, folks. Powerful service. It's found in Hebrews, and it's talk about the seeds that the enemy tries to sow to get us to doubt. We're called to be people of faith. We're called to be people who will believe. And I love this. You go through all of Hebrews 11, the word faith or belief or trust is mentioned 25 times in the New American Standard. And then chapter 12 says this, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside the encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And I'm one who believes that that is doubt. Doubt just paralyzes you, folks. The enemy loves to paralyze God's people. The enemy loves to try to sow seeds of doubt that so easily entangle us. Listen, you got to remember, we're the ones who broke up chapter and verse of the scriptures. If you were to read Hebrews 11 all the way through, and it's only about one subject, faith. And you go right in to continue to read without a break in verse 12. The thing that comes against faith, the thing that hinders faith is doubt. The thing that entangles faith would be doubt. Again, look at this. So easily entangles us. So let us run the race with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, that means to fix your eyes on him, to consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. The enemy just wants to come in, folks. How is it that you pluck that seed of doubt out that has just kind of set its roots into your heart, into your belief, into your thinking, into your mind? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is built by this. Faith is built by your relationship with him. Faith is built by your understanding. You go, no, that's not true. This is what God says about this. No, that's not true. This is what God says about this. And you just begin to battle, and you begin to be a seed plucker of doubt because this is what God says. And you come to a place at any age where the enemy tries to sow seeds of doubt that you are immediate. Say, no, this is, well, again, if you don't have scripture memorized, you go to the scripture, you go to this amazing thing called the concordance, and you go back and you look and you study, you go to this amazing concordance called Google and look up some true Bible, not what Google would think, but what the Bible says, and start just Googling different things and finding different things. And then you begin to battle this. This is what God says. No, this is what God says. I'm not going to let you bring doubt to me when I'm supposed to walk by faith, when I'm supposed to walk in a sense that even if I don't see it, I'm going to believe it because I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith, which is something that I haven't seen. I'm asking for something that I've not yet seen. I'm standing on the ground. I'm fixed and I'm established and I stand firm on this, the word of God. And then the enemy has to release. And then doubt begins to be taken over by faith. And then that seed begins to be drowned out and plucked out and it's gone. And then you begin to see your faith arise. It's beautiful. We have got to be spiritual seed pluckers, folks, because we do have an enemy who has an influence all around. And I love in Jesus' final prayer to the Father. He says, I'm not asking you to take him out of the world. I'm asking you to protect him from the evil one. That was his concern for me and you. That was his concern, our King, our Master, our Lord, the one who went to the cross. It was his concern. Don't take them out of the world. They need to be the salt and light to the world. They need to be exactly where they're at, but they've got to be protected from the evil one. And he's called you and I to be aware. Can you just bow your heads, please, before we sing our last song? And I just, husbands and wives, you first, man. Where are you in this? Where are you in this? Where are you in this in your marriage? Have you allowed different influences? You have allowed yourselves to conform to the world? Have you allowed doubt to come into your marriage? That this morning you say no more. This morning you say no more. What about you as a husband and wife, as a unified team? I just share this with you, man. I'm telling you, folks, the enemy loves to bring division between a husband and a wife. You've got to walk unified. God calls you that you are one. And you need to make decisions unified. Husbands, listen to your wives, please. The Bible says your wife is prudent. That means she has good advice. That means she has discernment, that she may see things before you see things. Husbands, listen to your wives. Walk in unity as a husband and a wife. The enemy can't touch that. It's a powerful union between a husband and a wife. It's a powerful unity. What if you're a parent? Have you look to your kids and say, no, that's not coming into my house. Yes, you want that relationship with your kids. Yes, you want that home that they certainly look up to you and honor you. But you want to be the one to say, I see things that you may not see, and that's a no. And if you're a son or a daughter in this place, please, please know that if your parents have your best in mind, they may see things that you don't see. And their no, can I just please have every teenager in this place look at me? Their no could possibly save you a lifetime of agony. You got to get that. Teenager, you need to hear that. If you have parents that are really in tune with God by the Holy Spirit, you have parents who really say, my decisions for you are not based off of me and my time. My decisions for you are based on your best path. I am here for your best. I am always on your side as a parent. And if they say no to something, or if they say no to a girl or to a boy or to a specific lot of friends, or they say no to going out this night, maybe, just maybe, they were on their face and they got a sense from the Spirit of God, say, tonight's a bad night. They just shouldn't leave the house. You and I will maybe never know what you just were saved from, but you've got to walk in a sense to say, no, man, I've got something so different from what the world has. I have parents who are in tune with God. I have parents who know that there's an influence that's trying to take me out. I have parents who know that, man, they are before God on their face, and when they say no, it's for my benefit. Because maybe they know something that I don't. That you as a teenager would come to a place to say, yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. You as a teenager would begin to understand, God, thank you. What happened? If you in a spiritual house as a teenager, God, thank you for my spiritual parents. God, thank you for parents who are so in tune with you. How many times have they protected me? How many times by them saying no, do I have a life now that I can live for you? But that could have been one night. That could have been one thing. That could have been the person. That could have been. But you have a mom and dad who are in tune because their seed pluckers and they're saying, no way. Come on, it's the truth. Father, we just say thank you. What a great day. What a great morning. God, thank you for today. Father, I'm just asking that by your Holy Spirit, you just have sealed this into our hearts today. God, help us to not fall asleep. Help us to be on guard every day. What a great series. We thank you for the work done in this summer series this year, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.